It has been a long week. We talked about the anniversary of the movie Fried Green Tomatoes. We heard some surprising stories from James Brown's life. And we debated cake versus pie. It's now time to sit back, relax, and celebrate Friday. Let's go into the break room.
I looked at her and she said, "Sorry, we don't want people with your hair here." And I was like, "Wow, that's really rude." And I walked away from the situation.
In a statement Monday afternoon, Mayor Reed said, in part, "Effective today, I am directing all city departments to stop non-essential, publicly funded employee travel to the state of North Carolina."
Well, the Burgeriza is 2 8-inch freschetta pizzas. In between is a 20-ounce burger with bacon and cheddar cheese.
Joining us in the break room, HB Cho, reporter for the Korean Daily. Hey, HB.
Hey.
Kathy Lohr, former NPR correspondent. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning.
Hector Fernandez is professor of world languages and cultures at Georgia State University. Good morning, Hector.
Morning.
And Sumaya Khalifa is the executive director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta. It's good to see you, Sumaya.
Great to see you as well.
Let's start with the controversy at San Francisco State University. A black student was caught on video berating a white student for having dreadlocks. I almost feel like berating is too nice a word. The black student's named Benita Tyndall. She claimed the white student, Corey Goldstein, was appropriating African culture because he was wearing dreads. Goldstein tried to walk away, but Tyndall grabbed his arm, pulled him back to continue her argument. Here's a clip of Goldstein recounting his side of the events.
She kept grabbing me, pushing me back, trying to make her point or something. I didn't want to talk or discuss the situation with her at all. I felt that I didn't need to explain myself, my hair, my rules, my body. Someone within an activist group thought that she could attack me based on it, based on my locks, and that's not okay.
This whole affair actually sparked an online petition to have Benita Tyndall kicked out of the university. That might be a little extreme, but who do we side with in this particular argument? You guys all saw the video?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
And what'd you think?
Why are these kids escalating a situation like this? Isn't college supposed to be about the discussion of ideas, having conversations? I don't think she should be expelled, but I don't understand why she was trying to block his
Hector,
way.
You're a professor.
Well, I think the kids are making a fuss out of it because it happens all the time, unfortunately. You're right. She needs to go back to school. She needs to be immersed in difference. Yeah. It's the only way she'll learn. She needs to go through serious cultural sensitivity training, basically.
So, Hector, what's something that you don't get arrested for, but you can get expelled from school for?
Gee, I wouldn't want to define that.
Plagiarism.
Yeah, right? Plagiarism,
and
I suppose.
Cheating
on
a test.
Yeah.
So does it go up to that level, do you think?
Do you mean, is this as bad as cheating on a test?
Right.
I'm not the person to ask.
Well, this is much more personal. This is not on the academic frontier. So it's the line is quite difficult.
She did grab his arm, though. Right. What if he pressed charges?
That's true.
Sumaya, you're not weighing in here yet.
Well, you know, I think that Ms. Benita is really out of line. There is, you know, in terms of hairstyles, et cetera, we've come to a global world where people from my own culture who have maybe curly hair or wavy hair, they straighten it. Does that mean for a white person coming to them and saying, "Hey, why are you straightening your hair? That's my culture." So, you know, I think it's just personal choices, and it's none of her business how people wear their hair. And it's a free world. And it really irritated me to see how she transgressed and told Corey that he can't do that. Who is she to do that?
I agree, although Hector, one would hope that the school is going to step in and at least use this as an educational opportunity, right?
Yeah, if only, right?
Yes.
I mean, they said they were investigating, but what are the options? What are the options for them?
Don't
I guess
get
to
sick
kick
of
her
hearing
out.
It, yeah. We're investigating, because you never hear the
That's
end of it.
That's it.
You never hear the results.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with this is usually it becomes a legal minefield. So schools are very wary about, you know, being public.
Having a safe environment.
Yes.
And releasing things that might be private.
It's really sad. Like, for me, if you feel like what you think is your own culture is not an American culture, and then therefore claiming to a fellow American student that you can't have that, only people like myself can have that. And you're saying that my culture isn't an American culture. It isn't a part of the American, thought process. So that's really, I think, the saddest part for me.
Well, let's talk about a controversy that played out here at home, the issue of the religious liberty legislation. Last month, Governor Deal vetoed Georgia's version of that bill. On the other hand, our northern neighbor, North Carolina, doubled down on its legislation that overruled, actually, previous anti-discrimination laws. So now the Atlanta City Council says Atlanta and not Charlotte should host the 2017 NBA All-Star Game. So what do we think about this? Is it fair for Georgia to immediately claim the moral high ground here?
Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Yeah.
Let's go for it. I mean, at least he vetoed it.
Yes.
You know, honestly, I mean,
okay.
And Mississippi just passed a law this week as well.
But they don't have the 2017 NBA All-Star Game.
No, nope, but there are other companies that are looking at also pulling out of North Carolina or not coming. And think PayPal is another one that said it's not going to go to Charlotte this week.
Yeah. Okay. HB?
I guess we'll see after the election in November.
What does that mean?
I guess we'll have a real good sense of where public sentiment is in this country.
Yeah, but that's presidential. That really has nothing to do with gubernatorial. I mean, I have ex-students who are in the university system in North Carolina, and McCrory has pretty much, you know, decimated it.
McCrory, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I feel like both Georgia State Assembly passing the religious liberty bill, although Governor Deal vetoed it, and what's happening in North Carolina and a few other states that have kind of, I guess, similar laws that reflect similar sentiment is kind of a bet for November, because they feel like they're expecting a kind of different set of voters to come out, especially on the Republican side.
Oh, they're making a calculated gamble, HB Cho says. So we'll see if that's true. But let's talk then about maybe an event that's even harder to get tickets to than the All-Star Game. And that's the Broadway play Hamilton, getting rave reviews, especially for cast diversity, and it's even been praised by our president.
Hamilton has become a phenomenon, a smash hit, taken Broadway by storm, captivating the entire country, winning tons of awards, turned musical haters into diehard fans. It has become a favorite in the Obama household. In fact, Hamilton, I'm pretty sure, is the only thing that Dick Cheney and I agree on.
So the labor union, Actors Equity, criticized Hamilton because they put out a casting call that said, quote, non-white men and women, end quote. The production has since amended that language. But is this reverse racism to leave white actors out of your audition process?
Not at all.
No.
No, not at all, because Lin Miranda, when he first designed...
Lin Miranda Manuel actually wrote the and stars in Hamilton.
When he first wrote it from the very beginning, I mean, one of the main points is diversity. And he wants to transgress the boundaries in terms of roles. Like, Jefferson is played by an African-American.
Yeah.
So that's part of the point.
Well, you know, even though they took out that particular phrase, but still the roles themselves, they have put, you know, very... descriptive of who could fill them. So even though they're taking that out, it's still on the books in a sense, because they will be looking for a certain talent that looks a certain way. So they did that probably to appease the union, but it is what it
they're
is. It'll be business.
For non-white.
Exactly.
Yes. But I mean, the term non-white, is it just an honest term? Or, I mean, if I were a white actor, I'm probably going to say, it's like, what is that supposed to mean? What is that supposed to mean, you know?
I don't know.
It's
I think
not
that,
saying
that
diverse.
But I
it's
think that saying. Producers, whoever's casting the show, is going to get who they want anyway.
Yep.
So white or non-white, whoever comes out. I'm not sure why they advertise that way, but they did try to clear it up. I think you're right. The whole point behind the play is that it's supposed to be diverse.
Besides, just to make a point, I recently played a video for my students, which argued that, you know, white men have been part of the biggest affirmative action plan in the history of the world, which is called modern history. If they have been so for God knows how many years, what's all the hoopla about, you know, the standards changing a little bit now? I mean.
And I mean, does it change our attitudes or yours, HB, if we know that Broadway casting in all of the decades before this has been mostly white? Does that change? Is it okay for them to say, look?
I feel like I know why they are putting kind of something like this out there, because if They did not have something like this, and they end up with mostly white or all white cast, then we're going to be, this is going to be another issue that we're going to be talking about in a similar kind of light. So they are kind of trapped in both directions, that if we go, if they just let it happen naturally, then they're likely to get, because of the current pool of actors, they're likely to get, you know, less diverse.
You're saying your problem was with the language, that they could cast who they want and they didn't have to literally say non-white.
It's right. That's either too honest or just not thoughtful. If you are aiming for diversity, then that's one thing. But if you're aiming for non-white actors, that's a bit explicit. Does it only ring weird, sound weird to me?
Well, it's like pontificating. Next thing we know, we're going to have Porgy and Bess with white actors.
Well, I mean, if you look at Hollywood, we've been casting white people in non-white roles for a very, very long time. It's been a problem. Nobody else has a problem? HB's our sole voice?
I have a problem with it. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I just think it's so clear that it's, you know, they shouldn't be saying anything about it.
You should have left the language out.
Yeah,
right.
But you're okay with them casting non-white people as long as they didn't say it explicitly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the way it is.
Okay. All right, so I'm really sorry, North Carolinians, but we have to talk about your state one more time today. This week, Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed has ordered all city employees to avoid publicly funded trips to North Carolina because of the Tar Heel State's recent religious liberty legislation. Atlanta Councilman Michael Julian Bond made his thoughts on the ban very clear.
North Carolina is going to suffer economically. They're going to suffer politically. They're going to suffer in ways in which, you know, I don't believe that they can anticipate.
Okay, so what do we think of this boycott? Because they're not the other one. They're the only ones. There's other people that have banned travel to North Carolina. I assume we're going to see some of the same things for Mississippi. Did the boycotts like this work?
I believe they do. I mean, if it was business as usual, there would be no repercussion to the bad law that was passed in North Carolina and in other states. By not treating people all fairly and without discrimination, we are sending a message that that's okay to do. So I back Mayor Reed and the city council in terms of what they decided. And as you mentioned, they're not the only one. New York governor as well had a similar edict going out that no city or no state employee is to travel to North Carolina for unnecessary business.
Isn't this kind of like state speech, though? I mean, there are some people, I'm sure in Georgia, we passed it here in our legislature, that support religious liberty legislation like that.
There are a lot of people that support it, and it's coming back. The Republican leadership has said they're going to reintroduce another bill next year, or several bills. But you know what? I think it's part of this ongoing effort to bring the NBA All-Star Game here. You know, and I don't know that boycotts always work. They sometimes work, I think. And I think it just depends on how many people take it seriously.
It's a valid measure. You have to hit them in the pocket. You know, economy comes first, and then they will learn about the culture. You know, politicians will follow.
It's perfectly, reasonable thing to do for
me. You think it's valid?
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of the, I guess, legislators in NC that passed the law, I feel like they are thinking they're trailblazers for certain people with certain mindset, because they are taking the hit, but they're still going forward with it. They knew they were going to take some kind of hit, maybe not as bad as this one, but they knew it.
Let me read you the tweet we got from T-Barf, who's always a contrarian. He tweets this: I bet if Mayor Reed gets tickets to the NBA All-Star Game, he'll be willing to travel to North Carolina for the game. So the cure for past discrimination is more discrimination?
You know what? Hey, this is non-essential business travel. He's not telling everybody, don't ever go there. He's saying, I'm not going to, at the city business, we're not going to go there.
We're not
going to
pay for it.
Right. Yeah. Not personal. But you know what? He has a point, because it's like, does this stuff really work? And it only works if people are other people outside of the city of Atlanta, the whole people of Georgia and everywhere else would not go there.
And the whole NBA thing is taking the NBA game from Charlotte, is hitting really Charlotte hardest. out of the entire state, right?
And NFL did threaten to take the Super Bowl, a chance of a Super Bowl away from Georgia if Governor Deal signed it. But let's stick with politics for a second. A federal judge has ruled that Georgia's ballot access laws violate the Constitution. And what that means is we could see a third-party candidate on the November ballot for the first time in 20 years or so. Do we think that's a step forward? And would you vote for a third party?
Sure, but I don't really care. I don't want to. I mean, what I really want to see is a change in the presidential election system.
What do you mean? What change?
The Electoral College. I mean,
you want to get rid of the Electoral College.
I want direct presidential elections. Uh-huh. I want my vote in Georgia to actually count, because when you have direct presidential elections, it's a grand total, right? It's a national grand total, and that's what counts. Otherwise, I vote in Georgia. I know the way the state is going to go. My vote doesn't really count.
Third party, is it a step forward, Kathy?
Yes, I think so. I mean, the Green Party has tried to get on the ballot for many years. I'm a registered independent, honestly.
Me
so,
too.
I think it's great. The more the merrier. I think we need participation. And if that's going to get people to participate because their candidate's on the ballot, great.
I guess where I'm coming from is, having a third party on the ballot is a great idea, but the so what? Do they really have a chance at becoming the president? Are we doing that just for doing it, or are they going to get a fair share or a fair shake to be president of the United States? At this time or for the foreseeable future, it's the two parties that are dominating.
But doesn't it have to start somewhere?
It does. It does. But I think we manage our own expectation in terms of if we do have a third party on the ballot, we don't expect that person to be president in 4 years or in 8 years. It's way, way down the line.
I think it's going to be an easy option for people who are completely frustrated with the current system to...
And there's a lot of them.
Yeah, and it's right. An outlet to say, heck with you two. I'm just going to...
Are you swearing on public
radio? almost.
All right. Well, let's bring out another issue that could cause some cursing. The Atlanta Braves kicked off their season this week. It's the last one they will play at Turner Field before they move to Cobb County. If you go to Turner Field to catch a game, be sure to try their newest culinary
creation.
Expedition, right?
It's called the Burger Itza. So picture this in your mind. It's a 20-ounce beef patty, 5 slices of cheese, bacon, and it's all served between 2 8-inch pepperoni pizzas. So that sounds like something Homer Simpson would cook up.
We take 18 ounces of sizzling ground beef. Ooh. And soak it in rich creamery butter. Then we top it off with bacon, ham, and a fried egg. We call it the Good Morning Burger.
Okay, which of you would try the Burgeritza?
I can't. It's got pork and it's got bacon in it, but it sounds like, whoa. Whoever eats it will probably get like an instant heart attack.
Okay, I have an idea. Maybe it could be like the whole family's meal.
Yeah.
It's like 28.
That's what you want to feed your family?
Well, not necessarily, but it's like $28, it's probably the best deal.
You'll have like 5 heart attacks.
I would not eat it.
Well, Hector, you don't count because you're vegetarian, right?
Right, it looks nasty. Looks really nasty.
Even if HB.
You know what's, I'm not, can I throw up somewhere? But I feel, the saddest part is I know that it's going to be popular somehow. I feel like it's a lot of people are going to go out there and eat it. I can almost picture Braves hat and a kind of.
I'm sure they'll take a picture of that.
Don't get in trouble here. Look, let me put it this way. If you are among our listening audience and you are going to eat the Burgeritza, we need pictures or it didn't happen. So make sure if you try it, we want to see pictures or video and you can send them to us.
And if the review is good, I might try it.
And the Braves are slowly killing their fans with a score.
It's Friday. We're in the break room. My guests are Korean Daily reporter HB Cho, former NPR correspondent Kathy Lohr, GSU professor Hector Fernandez, and the director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta, Sumaya Khalifa. Well, the spring semester is beginning to wind down. Lots of high school students and parents are thinking about the big leap to college in the fall. But before you write that tuition check, think twice. There are a number of studies out there, solid research that show students who take a gap year between high school and college are actually more successful and more likely to graduate than those who go to college right after graduation. Europe and Australia, this is actually a fairly common practice. So why is it so popular in the rest of the developed world and not here? And Hector, we got to start with you. You're at GSU. Why don't Americans do this, and would you recommend it?
I think people are just scared that if they don't go straight to college, something will happen and they will just not go to college. That said, I think a gap year is a great recommendation. I tell my students all the time that it's a great option. You mature. The way things are right now, students are graduating way too young. I mean, so it's a good thing.
Kathy, Sumaya, HB?
I don't think it's a cookie-cutter approach. I think it depends on the student themselves and what are they going to do with that year. If they're going to sit around, watch TV, and not
there
do anything,
that's
then
the question.
It's a wasted, totally wasted year. But there are some, if they do use that year wisely to grow themselves and gain experiences, then more power to them. But again, I don't think it's you go straight to college or you take a year off. It depends on the child.
The year off is like to travel. Basically, that's what you're doing.
That's what a lot of people in Europe
and Australia
do.
You backpack and you go to Europe.
What if you don't have the money to do that?
I mean, there's always the money. I mean, you can go to Europe and you can use hostels, a rail pass.
Well, yeah.
And I'm just saying Europe, not because Europe is the big deal, because it's
but you're
cheapest.
Saying, okay, expand your mind and
yes,
your imagination.
Absolutely.
Well, there are a lot of people that don't do that. That just take a year
they
off.
Just play video games.
Yes, play video games.
Yeah.
So,
Dan, you know,
a friend of mine who is a professor at GSU Perimeter says, people that if they do something with that year, it does help them long.
Absolutely.
But if people go to school part-time even after that, that equals failure to complete your degree. So if you don't let them, you know, go into it at some point, you know, chances are you won't finish.
I think more than anything for me, tasting the independence, especially the economic side. So not so much traveling. I think that's going to help. But I think the quintessential goal if one is to take a gap year is to be completely financially independent from their parents. Mm. Because 18, I think, is physically and mentally, it's usually when most people are mature enough, if given chance, to get
that. So if their parents are still supporting them, they're not learning anything, they're not maturing that year.
I think it's missing a very valuable opportunity. Not, I mean, it depends on the person. They may be mature enough, but I think being able to work for your food and kind of really getting what it feels like to get a paycheck and to support yourself and being creative with it, I think that's the really big opportunity that people can take.
I know a number of people who took that year off, didn't plan on going to college, saw how difficult it was to make ends meet.
Without graduates,
and
there
then
you
went
go.
To college. And so that's, and that was...
Absolutely.
You know,
I was
I know,
second in my class at high school, and I took a gap year. I needed it. I needed a break. I want to harken back to our discussion just before this about the Burger Eats. Adam Ragusa's tweets, I think I've seen that before. And then he posted a picture of Audrey II, the cannibalistic plant from Show of Horrors. And T-Barf says, I'd try it once. I ate deep-fried lamb testicles at the Minnesota State Fair once, which I think says something when that's what you're comparing it to.
Yeah.
But
yikes.
In any case, let's move on. There is an old saying that says beauty can be a curse. One actress is taking that saying to heart or backing it up. Charlize Theron gave a recent interview and she claimed she's been passed over for substantial roles because she's just too darn beautiful. She says, quote, how many roles are out there for the gorgeous effing gown-wearing 8-foot model? When meaty roles come through, I've been in the room, and pretty people get turned away first. End quote. So, is there a discrimination?
Give me a break.
She sounds jaded.
If that's her problem in life, I would like to love her, to have her in life. You know, that's.
She sounds jaded. Did she?
Ridiculous.
You know, not get a role here. She missed out on a role.
She's an Oscar-winning actress.
Something happened.
Yeah. HB. Pretty people are discriminated against.
If they have it so rough.
If it was a guy saying that, I think it might make more sense because I tend to feel like I feel like some of the top actors aren't the.
Wait, Brad Pitt?
Well, I mean,
Denzel
he's
Washington?
Really he's an exception.
Brad Pitt is really discriminated against.
Yeah,
but
right.
I feel more. I identify easily with more less you know, spectacularly looking characters that are leading characters in the movie. But that happens more frequently with male actors. And female actors, whatever role you're playing, you're always kind of like a drop-dead gorgeous, right?
Right.
So I think if it was a guy, but for her to feel that way, I have no idea where that's coming from.
Yeah, I don't know. Sumaya, you already said, I mean, give me a break.
Give me a break. What is she talking about? Yeah.
She's in the bubble.
Yeah, the bubble that we were talking about.
She's in a heck of a bubble.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have one topic left, and we're going to get through it quickly with just 3 minutes left. The clothing company Gap is in the news for the wrong reasons. They issued a recent ad that sparked a lot of backlash on social media. In a picture, there are four young girls. They're all part of a gymnastics group. And the white girl is leaning her arm on the head of the smaller black girl. According to critics, the image evoked the idea of racial inferiority. It's led people to call the company tone deaf. The African-American young girl was the only non-white that has been reported in the ad. So what do we think? Are people overreacting?
Absolutely not.
Gap needs to apologize. The ad agency should be fired. And Ellen, I don't know what happened to Ellen.
What is Ellen doing?
Ellen should have reviewed this thing.
Ellen DeGeneres was in the
There was also a video that Ellen did with the three that appear to be white girls and the one black youth. And the black youth doesn't even look like she's paying attention.
Not at all.
So my
question is,
she's looking up in the air, why didn't they not redo the video and say, hey, everybody's going to participate, everybody has lines, and she was the only person that didn't talk.
I'm really surprised by the reaction. I thought she was just being cute. I mean, looking like she has no idea what she's doing.
What? Absolutely not.
Like 7-year-old girl to be like, look completely lost.
Cute. This you're misreading.
Let's say if it were a white girl that lost girl was, then I think she was just going to be, the whole thing is, that girl is just cute.
If it had been a white girl, they would immediately have filmed a new video because all four needed to integrate into the conversation. Instead, they had an African-American girl. They left her out in the clouds, and they did not really care about it.
That's what it looked like. And I have to say, it's a charged environment we're in already. So why? This is such a bad idea.
Be careful.
You got to, it's epic fail.
Either
to
way.
Me.
But that's it for the break room. I do want to read one tweet we got about the Charlize Theron topic. Robbie Medved says, I too have been passed over for many opportunities in life for being too beautiful. It's just too much for some folks to handle. We are out of time. Thanks to all my guests, HB Cho, reporter for the Korean Daily, Kathy Lohr, former NPR correspondent, and Hector Fernandez teaches at Georgia State University. Sumaya Khalifa is the executive director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.